Mark. Affiliates head on with Bob Kincaid in 30 seconds. Mark.
Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Good afternoon, depending on where you are. Happy tomorrow in some places, I suppose. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. It's your nightly confrontation, or afternoonly, you know, with the facts. And let me start out by tendering a profound apology on a couple of notes. Oy. I guess we made it about 36 minutes into the show last night before we got knocked off the air. And that is, trust me, no one was angrier than I. Really, really angry. Because we pay no small amount of money to the fine folks at Verizon for the service that they provide that delivers the program up to Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org, from which point he disseminates the program everywhere else. Really, it's not chump change. But now, we premiered the show on October the 24th, and pretty much out of range of most of the vile weather, the nasty electrical stuff at least. And yet, oddly enough, since we went on the air, we've had four thunderstorms, and every thunderstorm knocks out this highfalutin data transmission line. Apparently, we have the telecommunications equivalent of a terrified chihuahua in the form of our frame relay service. You know, the first peal of thunder and it runs and hides under the cyber bed, I guess. So I apologize. I do, indeed. I apologize to you for the entire screwed up mess that was yesterday. Because we were starting off with a lot of fun, and I'll try to give it a re-kick this evening if there's anybody left out there after last night's failure, brother. But we're talking about introducing a program called National Security Letters, where we're all going to write letters to George Bush and copy them into me for an occasional weekly segment where we'll share the minutiae of your otherwise ordinary patriotic American liberal democratic progressive lives. Things like, well, as I said last night, dear George, called my sister yesterday to get Granny's old recipe for fudge. This will not be necessary for your national security purposes, so please feel free to have the NSA remove it from the Uniblab 10,000's archives. Like that. I think it could be fun. And I've already had some good responses along those lines. So we'll try to reinitiate that tonight. If you've got something like that, send it to me, bob@headonradio.com. And make sure you send one to George, too, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C. I bet you they can even find Washington, D.C. in the White House without a zip code. Or maybe it has its own. But that's just the first apology I owe. I owe you a second as well. And that apology has to do with something we covered on the show a couple of nights ago. Remember how I told you about that website, nsa.gov/kids? The crypto kids website with the little rat or cat or whatever the thing is. And for today's code breakers and... you get the idea. Spying for children. Well, it turns out today, I may have inadvertently, and believe you me, it was inadvertent, I'm not in the pay of the NSA. I'd be in a bigger house if we were. And more things would work. Heck, we'd probably have a data transmission line that stayed up even in thunderstorms. It turns out if you went to the NSA's website, you got a cookie dropped in your machine so that the NSA could track your web surfing. Now, of course, this was an official with the NSA said, "Well, of course, this was a very much a mistake. We're terribly, terribly sorry about this. We don't mean to spy on the American people's web surfing activity." Oh, hell no, of course not. You wouldn't do that, now would you? And why would you need to? You're listening to every single American's phone calls through the magnificent Uniblab 10,000. But yeah, look at it. It may have happened to you. It certainly happened to us. We're sitting here on the air. Agnes is like, "Nah, Bob, you're pulling my leg again," making the little hand signs at me, the little circle by the side of the head. "Oh, Bob, you crazy?" And going to the website and nsa.gov/kids, and we get, you get a cookie dropped in your machine so the NSA can. And I'm not enough of a computer genius, and I know there are folks out there who are. Our pal Brian in New Jersey knows about things like this. Our pal David in South Carolina, Bruce in North Carolina. Everybody but me is a computer genius. And I don't. I don't know. If I go in and clear the cookies, will I clear the NSA, or is it like a rootkit cookie from hell? Every time I go to spankmeivebeennaughty.com, is the NSA going to know? That's a joke, dear. That's a joke. So I apologize to you if I've caused your computers to be infiltrated by George Bush's nosy little NSA cretins. And they are cretins. I have lost all respect for them. Because in years past, there have been people with the NSA who've come out and said, you know, rule one is thou shalt not spy on the American people. Well, apparently those guys are gone from the NSA now. And they don't care who they spy on. So they are not my fellow Americans. I don't know about yours. But they're not mine. I do not consider them brothers and sisters within the American experience. They are not fellow sovereigns under the Constitution, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm sorry. Maybe that's harsh. But anyone who spies on the American people is no American. Anyone who spies on the American people is no better. Is no better than the people who would ostensibly care, like to destroy us. You know, you think we got problems with Arab terrorists? No, we got worse problems right here at home, and you know that, and I know that. So, Agent Fred, bite me. Let's take a break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Don't think.
put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you, and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Miners and mine operators understand the dangers inherent in working at a mine site. They also know how to avoid those hazards, but will they do it? Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Many recent fatalities in the mining industry have resulted from bad safety decisions. For example, one victim fell from an elevated platform because he was not wearing a safety line. Tragedies like this don't have to happen if everyone in the mining workplace thinks about the job and makes the right decision. Safety begins with you. If you're about to perform electrical work, lock out and tag out before you start the work. Make the right decision. If you're a truck driver, you can choose whether to wear the seat belt. Make the right decision. MSHA's message to you is make the right decision in the mining workplace. Decide to be safe. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for sticking around. 15 minutes in, 18 minutes in, almost 19 minutes in. No lightning. We're doing good. And the Chihuahua's not under the bed. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. The phone number, I should tell you, 877, the number 4, Head On, 877-443-2366. Email to Bob at headonradio.com. And just to give you a little bit of background on this NSA cookie story, there is an individual by the name of Ari Schwartz, associate director at the Center for Democracy and Technology. They're a privacy advocacy group in D.C. He says, considering the surveillance power the NSA has, cookies are not exactly a major concern, but it does show a general lack of understanding about privacy rules when they are not even following the government's very basic rules for web privacy. And I take it that Ari Schwartz is a bit of an idealist. I take it that Ari Schwartz, when you said that it's not exactly a major concern, no, but it is symptomatic. It is symptomatic of the overall lack of concern at the NSA. The National Security Administration, based upon the orders of George W. Bush, has transformed the people of the United States into the enemy. And you know what? I love my country. I was raised to love my country. I adore my country. And yet, when you find out that the President of the United States is committing this kind of illegal actions using governmental agencies that he has transformed into his own little personal police state. No, I don't love that at all. And I do not and will not consider people who allow themselves to be used in such fashion as my fellow Americans. I absolutely will not. Because I honor the people of my father's generation who died in the Second World War. I honor the people who died in Korea, in Vietnam. The Kincaids going back to the American Revolution. I honor them by honoring the Constitution. And in honoring the Constitution, I can't honor the Constitution and hold people who do things that the NSA is now doing. I can't do both. Pick and choose, one or the other. Let's go to the phones. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Have with me a word of prayer about the NSA, good brother.
All right.
The NSA does not make policy.
No, they don't.
It implements policy. And your comments about employees of that agency who follow orders are invalid.
No, they're not, Jim. You know
yes,
what?
They are.
No, Jim, they're not because we had court proceedings in 1946 that said I was just following orders is not a valid defense. Did we not?
That does not apply to the NSA, Bob.
It certainly does. It should apply to us.
Obviously, you never served in the military and you've never worked for a government agency. But let me tell you something. You have three answers when you're in a situation like that as an employee. Okay?
Yeah.
They are yes, sir, no, sir, and no excuse, sir.
How about I quit?
People do not like doing what they're doing any more than I like what they're doing. However,
Jim, what about I quit?
If they're about their superior to surveil or whatever, or if you go to their website, do not think you're not going to be traced. And
well,
they're not going to drop a cookie as big as the Pillsbury Doughboy in your computer.
Even though the law says that they're not permitted to.
Fed Lex, Duralex, the law is latex, and you know it, and I know it. Let's get real here, good brother.
Well, so we're just going to throw away the idea that we're a nation of laws and not of men.
I said, Fed Lex, Duralex, the law is latex, and you know it, and I know it. Let's be realistic.
Well, I don't know if I can go along with your version of realism, Jim. Because you said
I can't show you the time.
Well, Jim, you said there are three answers: yes, sir, no, sir, and no excuses, sir. There's a fourth answer.
No, sir. There's no fourth.
There's a fourth answer, and the fourth answer is I quit and I refuse.
Well, you can do that if you want to, but I mean,
as far as I'm concerned, any NSA employee who participated in this is nothing more than a fellow traveler, and they are beneath my even disdain. For I am a citizen of this republic.
Well, take care that your love for your country doesn't turn into a love-hate relationship that can be destructive. I warn you there.
Well, you know,
you stand warned on that account. Now, I want to move on to something else.
What do you mean? What do you mean warning me, Jim? I don't understand.
Well, I mean, for you to categorically make these statements that condemn all employees of an entire agency is patently unjust and unfair.
Really? Is it patently unjust and unfair to spy on the American people, Jim?
That is not the question here.
It certainly is.
Orders.
I didn't start trouble with them. They started trouble with me.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I'm not going to get into a Steve O'Brien situation with you tonight about that. I called to make a declarative statement. I have a right to my opinion just as you have a right to yours. But you think about what you're saying.
Believe me, I think about what I'm saying for several hours before I come on the air, and I have given this great thought.
I admonish you for criticizing good and federal employees.
Well, I'm sorry, Jim, we have a disagreement. To me, they are not good federal employees. They are bad federal employees.
Beg your pardon?
I said, to me, they are not good federal employees. When they spy on the people of the United States, they are not good.
Well, that's fine. That's your opinion. I non-concur.
Well, you're welcome to. But you know, that's what this is about.
Well, I'm not sure what it's about because I'm not at Fort Meade and I'm not inside that glass tower. Now, I don't like what's being done. However, if what's being done is not right, it will come to the surface eventually, and the people who are responsible for it will be punished in due time. However, those people who are in the front ranks, who simply have to carry out the orders of their superiors, you cannot say they're bad people or they're bad Americans and they're not deserving of your company. Now, that is not only immature, it is unfair.
Jim, it's not immature. It is a considered response and a considered opinion. I would not cross the street to spit on a worker for the National Security Administration.
Okay, that's fine. I'm sure they might feel the same way about you.
Doesn't bother me.
But doesn't bother me in the least. You have, Brother Kincaid, you have stopped preaching, and now you're meddling.
No, I'm just meddling? I am meddling?
Yeah, I feel like you are. I really do. This is the first time you and I have locked horns, but I will lock horns with you over the structure of the federal system, of which I was a part so long. I will lock horns with you to the very death.
Well, that's...
If you don't want me to call this program anymore with this, I won't call you.
Well, Jim, I didn't say anything of the sort. We happen to have a disagreement, and rational people will disagree from time to time.
You don't even want to listen to anybody who's got a different opinion on you than that.
No,
I mean,
Jim,
so wrapped up.
Jim, I'm listening. I'm just not convinced.
Well, I said, you know, I had a right to what I had wanted.
I didn't challenge that.
Beg your pardon?
And I didn't challenge your right. You're speaking now.
But, I mean, you are comparing the Nuremberg laws and the premises set at Nuremberg to people who are GS5, 6s, 7s, 8s, 9s, and people, these are not the staffers of death camps. Okay, they're not. And there's no comparison between the two. And let's not get carried away by our own rhetoric, and let's not exaggerate, good fella, okay?
I don't see it as exaggeration.
Okay? Move on for a second.
Okay, yeah, quickly.
Well, I don't want... Now, if you want to throw me off the air...
I'm not throwing you off the air, Jim. I got to take a break here.
Well, you don't hear what the other things I wanted to say.
I'm more than interested in that, but you know, I got people waiting.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Yeah, I do.
Well, I'll just hold the rest of what I had to say in the bay because that really makes me angry, Bob.
Well, I'm sorry it does, Jim. It makes me angry that the President of the United States is using a governmental agency to spy on us.
Well, then you take it up with him. And I tell you what, if you don't like what he's doing, and I don't either, but, you know, instead of writing and wasting 39 cents, let me give you a number to call, 202-456-1414, and ask for the Director of Messages and Communications, and leave your voicemail and your phone number.
Mm-hmm.
And you tell them what you think.
Yeah.
Instead of writing letters, go ahead and give them a call.
Well, I'd prefer that they have physical evidence of it.
Well, they will. Don't worry. You'll be on tape. And, you know, let's do that. You do that. And, you know, I've called there and complained about things before.
Well, I don't. It doesn't appear that calling and complaining does much good. However, if we, you know, this is a different sort of project. But I appreciate your comments, Jim. I'm sorry you profoundly disagree. And I know that you have a sensitivity for government employees. And
I have a sensitivity.
I generally do too, Jim.
I have a sensitivity for what is called duty, honor, and country. Okay.
Well enough.
You know, and sometimes that is not a pleasant thing to have to fulfill. And you do things you don't want to do or like to do. Let me tell you, okay?
Yeah.
So, on that note, adios.
All right, take care, Jim. And when we come back, more of your phone calls. 877-443-2366. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. One minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. 28 minutes before the hour, and let's go straight to the phones. Fritz was kind enough to wait. Hey, Fritz, you're head on. How you doing?
Hey, Bob. How are you?
I'm getting along, I guess.
You know, Bob, I'm sure Jim's going to come back at me later, but I got to come at him right now. And you know what Jim's problem is that he is former military. And I live in a place where I've had extensive contact with federal employees, both former military and non. And I'll tell you what the difference is. Duty, honor, and country gets carried over from the military into the federal employee's job. And it's crap because it's a different situation.
It is different.
And you can tell I am pissed about this.
Yeah, I can. And that's,
you know,
okay.
Because if you got a whistleblower in a federal institution, such as has been the case up here in New Mexico several times, what the ex-Army and the ex-Marines want to do is kick the hell out of this person. That's their first response. Let's get that SOB.
Well, you know what? There's a and this is even military in nature, Fritz. I'm glad you mentioned that. There's a quote. It was in Rolling Stone. The young Army captain, 26 years old, who ratted out the torture processes and eventually got a meeting with McCain. Are you familiar with that story at all?
I just peripherally.
Well, there was a quote from Rumsfeld on it. Rumsfeld said, "Bust him or break him, but do it quick."
Yeah,
because he blew the whistle.
Look, I'm telling you that, and I can't get any. I know of whence I speak, and I'm sorry that I can't get any more specific than this. But there is a difference in attitude. And the difference in attitude often prevents ex-military federal employees from becoming whistleblowers. And that's really what we're talking about here. We're talking about somebody stepping up and having the courage to blow the freaking whistle, aren't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and if nobody did it in that agency, that doesn't mean that it's not the right thing to do or that it wasn't the right thing to do. We simply don't know the details. I'm not saying either you're right or he's right, but I think that the intractability of his attitude is what's wrong here.
Well,
sorry.
No, that's okay, Fritz. Like I said, this is about open dialogue, and what somewhere there is a niggling little seed of you know, like the sand that creates the pearl in the oyster. That's just it gnaws at me. Our U.S. Senator from West Virginia, John D. Rockefeller IV, sat on this spying information for 2 years. It was hidden from us by the Bush administration for 4 years. The New York Times had it for over a year.
Pretty angry, Bob.
I am incensed.
I am too. I absolutely am.
And frankly,
I tell you who else I'm incensed at is John Kerry. you know, for being the Winter Soldier back when he was 27, and now look at him. And I think the other influence, other than being ex-military, is getting rich. I think that's the other influence that prevents people from getting off their cans and saying something when they have the opportunity.
Because comfort.
John Kerry's basically ascension to the upper class has caused him to lose all his courage. That's another person I will point out as being a coward.
Well, and I think you're right in that sense,
Chris.
Did you
hear Mike Malloy? Did you happen to hear Mike Malloy on Randy Rhodes this afternoon?
I didn't get a chance, no.
Well, he had an extensive interview with Mark Crispin Miller, and Mark Crispin Miller relates his one-on-one conversation with John Kerry about the election of 2004, and Kerry's telling him face-to-face, yes, that election was unfair, there was something wrong with the election. I absolutely agree. And then Kerry's office put out about a week later that they totally denied the conversation.
Utterly disavowed it. It didn't happen.
Right, that's right. And Miller swears that the conversation went down, and I believe the man.
Well, Miller,
as a former academic, I think he's telling the truth.
Well, yeah, I don't think Miller's got Mark Crispin Miller has no motive to lie in this.
No motivation whatsoever to lie.
But there's all kinds of motivation on the part of the Kerry office.
Yeah, and, right there is.
And Bob, the thing is, I really do believe that the rules of Nuremberg apply here to this NSA stuff, because you know how many bureaucrats were there whose only job in Nazi Germany was to process the paperwork on how many went to Buchenwald and how many went to Bergen-Belsen and Dachau and
absolutely
and you know what, they were war criminals. And
they
there is no doubt that they were war criminals. How many there's a story banging around out there. I've got it in the stack, Fritz. Ten or so people that were wrongly apprehended apprehended by the U.S. government based on this spying. Now, somewhere inside that NSA apparatus, Fritz, there is some federal functionary who just turned a blind eye to all of this, and they are responsible. Either
right,
they're responsible or we're not a republic anymore.
Some opportunity to blow the whistle and didn't.
Right.
You know, I'm just going to say one more thing. I'm going to let you go, Bob.
Sure.
Jim, I love you. You say some of the most incredibly percipient things that I hear on talk radio, but I think you're wrong tonight. I'm sorry, my brother. Okay, Bob.
Very well said, Fritz. Thank you very kindly. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. And Ben in Illinois. Hey, Ben, you're head on.
Yeah, I have to say, Jim, we love you. Don't stop calling. Don't stop listening. Don't stop using the message boards. But I really have to respectfully disagree. And, you know, I used to be a federal employee, too. I was a Department of Energy employee under Reagan long ago. I really disagree. If you know, but understand, too, that this stuff does not happen, you know, in a vacuum.
Precisely.
You know, there's all sorts of normative things pushing forward people to continue to do what they were doing as things change. The mechanisms of Nazi Germany were really basically the same as the mechanisms of Weimar Germany. The same people often were doing the jobs. But, you know, slowly things changed, and slowly their mission changed, and slowly what they were doing was changing from attempting to run the German Republic and build its military while skating around the Versailles Treaty, to using the mechanisms of the German government and the German military to commit atrocities. And, you know, that didn't all happen at once. It didn't happen the first day.
It was a slow and steady progression.
There was an early period of time when anybody who was doing that might have said, well, this is unusual, but I see nothing wrong with it. Well, so he's relocating all of the Jews to the newly conquered territory in the East. You know, maybe I disagree with forcing them to leave, but it isn't like he's killing them or anything. Okay?
Yeah.
There were
yeah.
people who and you know, who had that belief that the cover story was real. And you know, there was a point in time for most of them, all but the stupidest, that it dawned on them that, oh, he is killing them. But by then you're so enmeshed in the machine
And it, well, part of this is the whole Martin Niemöller poem, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, when they came for the Jews, I said nothing, yada, yada, yada. When they came for me, there was no one to say anything because there was nobody left. This is that.
Plus, I think there comes a point in time, or did in Germany, when people realize, hey, I'm involved in a crime against humanity here. And then the corollary is, my God, if we lose this war, I'm going to hang.
Now, that's a motivator.
And that's a motivator. That's a big-time motivator. And it motivated. Why do you think Nazi Germany fought until they were in the, you know, they had the children in the streets fighting, fighting a street-by-street re-entrenchment battle against the Russians on the east side of Berlin and the Americans on the west. That's why.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, Ben, we are in a time right now that cries out for heroes. We... I don't want to get sappy or anything, but we need heroes in this country and standing silent. And I hold a blanket condemnation for everybody who stood silent. The administration says that they told what 11 or 14 members of Congress, and they all stood silent. The boldest thing that was done was John Rockefeller writing a letter to himself. Silence is not bold. Silence is not heroic. And we have got, at least on our side of the fight, Ben, as far as I'm concerned, we have got to begin defining what being an American is about. And what part of that is an absolutely zealous, jealous dedication to the principles that are outlined in the Constitution, and making it up as you go along and spying on the American people are not in any way, shape, or form part of that definition.
The other thing I think that needs to happen is a Gandhi-like refusal. We must become refuseniks. We must become people who will not cooperate with the system. You know, if that means that you're going to give up your well-paying civil service job because you can no longer allow yourself to be a tool of that machine. That's what you do.
I
could have made a fortune at various points in time if I were willing to go off and work for Bechtel or for
KBR. Yeah.
Well, you know, or with defense contracting. I've got friends highly placed in the defense contracting industry, including, vice presidents, et cetera. You know, various firms, then I could have a job. I could have a really good job. I refuse to work on the machinery of war.
I
won't turn my genius to that. I invented one weapon already. I'm not going to invent a second.
Well, you know, that's kind of the way Alfred Nobel felt, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The judge on the FISA court, what was his name, Robertson?
Mm-hmm.
Stepped down 2 or 3 days ago. That was an act of heroic noncompliance. You know, when I say we need a hero, that doesn't mean we got to have somebody marching with a gun. I agree with what you say about a Gandhi-like approach to this, an absolute refusal to participate. Because if we don't do that and do it in significant numbers, Ben, we are done.
Understand that a shooting revolution would be very hard to start in this country. Because there is so much awareness of what every given single person is doing, you wouldn't get far.
No.
The police would shoot you down. It wouldn't get to be a military uprising. The only weapon we have, and the only one that we really, you know, have the moral right to use is our refusal to be part of the system. You know, and this is echoed in a lot of, you know, places and times where people have talked about freedom. I mean, my God, even Ayn Rand.
Yeah, even.
You know, even Ayn Rand in Atlas Shrugged, that was the essential theme. If human freedom, which she defined as the freedom to be capitalist, but I define it differently.
Yeah.
If human freedom is being impinged by the government, it is the only duty you have, and the only duty you have to yourself at that point in time is to refuse to participate. And that's why, you know, I won't design another weapon.
Well, and it all comes full circle, Ben, because something Wayne said the other night, talking about the transit worker strike in New York City. He said, he said it's a sad day in America because working people have been told that they do not any longer in this country have the right to withhold the only thing they have, and that is their labor.
Well, certainly we do have the right to do that, and we can do that in one of two ways. Either we can strike, in which point we expect to get our jobs back, or we can quit and trust that in quitting, in walking away, we will bring the system down, and then there will be jobs for everybody after the revolution.
Yeah.
But we have to quit. We have to stop. We've got to stop the engines of the world, and you and I and all the other working people are the power that makes the machinery move. There isn't a single person sitting in a corner office in a penthouse suite making $100 million in stock options a year who is there except by the sweat of working men.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
And we can bring them all down.
And that $100 million person does not contribute any more, even though he's got the filthy rich, probably contributes less to the overall well-being of this country than the average working Joe out on the street.
That's entirely true.
Ben, thank you so much. I appreciate your comments.
You take care.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. A quick break and more of your phone calls when we come back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Killing. First you make a stone of your heart.
And if you find that your hands are still willing, then you can turn a murder into art.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the hour, I'm Bob Kincaid. The phone number, 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. Email to Bob at headonradio.com. And a couple of emails here. Let's see here. Dave writes in, military folks take an oath to defend and uphold the Constitution. The order to spy on citizens is a violation of the Constitution, therefore an illegal order not to be complied with. And that is the heart. Thank you, Dave. That is the heart and soul of my argument. There are illegal things going on, and to participate in that illegality is legally wrong, it's morally wrong, it's ethically wrong. It's wrong on every, and the argument that we would beat back a handful of terrorists living in caves by beating down our own constitutional system of government is repulsive. It's simply repulsive. Let's go back to the phones. Dookie the webmaster from WD40.com is with us. Hey, Dookie.
Hey.
How you doing?
What's going on, Bob?
Not a heck of a lot. How you doing?
This is Dookie the webmaster. I'm sitting next to Clyde. We're enjoying some beers and a couple of cigarettes here at the bar in Kansas City.
Hey, sounds like a great time.
Oh, yeah, we're having a good time. You know, I don't know if your listeners know this, but when we started the website, we started in a bar, so we celebrate just about every Thursday, Friday, and every other day that ends in Y.
You know, it's those days that end in Y that'll get you.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you that, man. It's like our lifeblood. So,
well, I tell you what, it's a great website you've got there. It's one of the best outlets I've found for just getting to the news and getting to it quick. You guys have a real genius for picking out the stuff that matters.
Well, we appreciate that. We're really moving up. Last time we checked, according to hits and all that, we are number 4 on liberal news websites.
Really?
Yeah, and we are gaining big time because, you know, we don't throw in the ads, we don't throw anything else, we just give you the news, we give you, like, you know, Clyde's Corner. You've read Clyde's Corner.
Absolutely.
Right? He threw you a shout-out today, actually.
Yeah, I caught that today, and I really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, that's cool, you know. I mean, he tells it like it is. He is a NASCAR liberal. I know liberals think NASCAR is Republican, but, you know, hey, I'm a NASCAR fan now. Me and Clyde went to Bristol this year, so... and we've met a lot of other liberals who have a problem with GW. So, yeah, that's what our website's all about. We're right here in the heartland. We're not like Daily Kos or something like that. That's for Atrios. It's right in the middle of the Beltway. We tell it like it is from the heartland.
Well, and I think that there is an important place for that kind of stuff in all truth, and it's one of the things that I'm trying to do here as well. You know, you don't have to be, and this is no slur intended, certainly no slur intended, but you don't have to be from somewhere that is traditionally identified with liberalism. We're everywhere, and the attempt of the Bush administration and the Republican apparatus to ghettoize us and make us feel isolated and alone. We can defeat that just by being what we are and being proudly what we are where we are.
Oh yeah, most definitely, and that's actually the number one reason why we started a website. And yeah, we might sell a couple T-shirts to get the message out, or we might give some advertising out. But the number one reason why we started our website was we were sitting at a bar. The three of us met, me and Clyde and Wally. We met up. And we decided, you know, we're tired of the Bush administration. We got sick and tired of talking and talking about trying to get them out. So we decided, you know, to buy some bandwidth, buy a website, come up with a silly name like WD40.com. And, you know, we're doing this essentially for free. I mean,
yeah.
We take the money and we just reinvest it into the website. You know, we don't really make any money. I mean, well, granted, I did take $3 out to buy me a new beer here at the bar.
Well, those are operating expenses.
Yeah, exactly. And Clyde got himself a hot damn and all that. That's Clyde. You know, he's an Ohio boy. But, you know, that's what we're doing. And we're not trying to be, you know, Daily Kos or Atrios. We're doing our thing. We're not trying to be Buzzflash. But, you know, we're out there and we've already became, you know, the fourth largest liberal news site in the United States. And
that's amazing.
And actually, the reason why we called, Bob, is we wanted to wish you happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, whatever the hell the Republicans want to say, and especially Happy New Year, Bob. You're doing great. It's glad to see you get back on the air. We miss you. We hear you on live all the time. We download your shows. We listen to you on White Rose. I talk to Ben Birch almost on a weekly basis. You know, he's doing great. I want to throw a shout out to him and a link to him because I know he's using a lot of bandwidth, so he could use some donations.
Yeah,
or whatever.
And you know what? He just passed his 5 millionth hour of liberal talk served.
Good for him.
Can you imagine that?
I'm so happy for Ben. He's done a great thing for our cause, and he's been there since day one. Before people like Air America, before Ed Schultz, he's been out there forever, you know, and it's glad that he's been, I see him all the time on the message boards, you know, and he's always talking about you, he's talking about everybody, and it's good to be a friend of Ben Birch. I mean, he's doing a great job. And I mean, the guy left his full-time job to do what he loves, and I mean, you can't, you know, say anything about him. He's a true American, if you ask me. He really is.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely correct, and that's one of the nice things about being on this side of the fight. You get to hang out with some truly incredible, intelligent, brilliant, compassionate, dedicated human beings, and I don't think they have that experience on the other side.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, someone as dedicated as Ben to go out and get servers and get contracts and to sit all day there and stream and record and put it on his website saying, let's get this word out. That's great. And that's why we started our site. We just said, you know, what the hell? Let's just go out there and throw out news headlines that, you know, that you don't see in Washington Post or, you know,
right.
Times, you know, these Republican headlines that come out all the time. We said, you know, the hell with that. And we needed a NASCAR liberal, someone that's still in the moderate area that can reach out to the southern states, say, hey, this guy likes NASCAR, but he's also a liberal.
Absolutely. Bust out of the ghetto, you know.
You know, exactly. You know, we turn left for a reason. We don't turn right. We turn left. You know? So that's our motto. Oh, by the way, Clyde just sent me a little note here. He said he loves Agnes, and I do too, by the way.
Everybody does, but don't encourage her to play that Mrs. Miller anymore.
Oh, heck. Oh, she's such a sweet lady to talk to, so give her a thumbs up for us. We're here in the middle of Kansas. We're drinking beer in your name and Agnes's name and wishing you guys a happy new year.
Well, thanks, guys. We love you, too.
And, well, thank you, Agnes.
And I will. We will lift a glass in your honor when the show is over. I have this running commitment to doing unimpaired radio, just because, you know, there's so many Republicans that are, you know, messed up on the air between the falafel and the OxyContin and what have you. I'm going to try to do a little unimpaired radio, but we'll definitely do a 12-ounce curl to you guys after the show.
Oh, we really appreciate that. And I tell you what, man, every time you hear from us, I know we don't call you often. This might be the very first call we've ever had. I know Clyde's been wanting to call you, and there was a freak storm or something you had the other night there.
That was awful.
They lost the phone. Yeah, they lost the phone lines or whatever. But we plan on calling you more often. We're going to get the word out. Drive people to the site. Drive people to your site. You know, we're going to win 2006. You know, I'm not trying to just get my hopes up because, you know, you got Diebold involved and so on. But I think the country's finally starting to turn, and we're seeing it out here in red state Kansas. You can believe it or not, this darn state is turning purple. So if your listeners, you know, if they got hope and they've got dreams and they want their counties and their state to turn blue, you take a look at Kansas, because where we're located at right now, there are tons of people that hate Bush and they hate all the scandals going on in Washington. And you wouldn't believe it. I mean, we're sitting here at a bar, and farmers walk in, and they see Bush on TV, and they're automatically giving the finger.
Oh.
I usually call it the presidential salute.
Right.
And that's what all three of us here do. But when they come in off the farm, and they still smell like pig, you know what,
mm-hmm.
There's got to be something going on. It's a storm brewing in the United States. And the Democrats are probably going to win. Now, I can't guarantee the House or the Senate, but it looks like we're going to pick up a lot of seats. There's, you know, we got former military people winning. are going running for office, and we got to support them. I mean, look at Paul Hackett. And
Paul Hackett, there's a gentleman running in Michigan. I think it's Michigan's 8th congressional district that I read about the other day. Former CIA man.
Yeah.
And a Democrat.
I mean, how can you not vote for someone that knows everything about everything and can tell you that what's going on is wrong?
And see, the surprising thing about this guy, and I wish I could remember his name, Dookie, because I read his mission statement, and it was pure, beautiful, inspiring liberalism. And he was able to maintain those principles throughout all that. So I think you're absolutely correct. And so good to hear from you. We've got to take our top of the hour break, but I hope we'll hear from you more often. And best of luck with WD40.com.
Definitely. We'll keep advertising your show. We're going to get the word out, and we'll keep calling you soon.
All right. Thanks so much, Dookie.
Bye.
Take care. Happy New Year. Dookie, the webmaster in cahoots with Clyde and Wally, the gang at WD40.com, by far one of the best news and information sites on the web and growing all the time. Let's take our top of the hour break. When we come back, more of your phone calls. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Wow, that was an exciting first hour. Thanks, everybody. Let's make sure it's as exciting in hours number two and three. The phone number again, 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. Bob@headonradio.com is the email address. And a couple of howdies, shout-outs, if you will. Heard from a couple of new listeners, or for all I know, long-time listeners who just took time to communicate. We've got a good new friend, Gordon in San Francisco, and another friend, Brad, I believe, in Mainz, Germany. And it's great to know you guys are on board and sharing your time with us. I got an email somewhere. Yeah, there it is. From our pal David in Tennessee. With regard to the issue of the NSA discussion we had, he says, well, now, just like a good plot in, say, the movie Brazil or 1984, the evil government traps the needy worker between unemployment and being a decent fellow citizen. What a horrid spot to put workers in. The liar at the top rolls all the bad stuff down the hill. And that's the absolute truth. Because this show is nothing if it is not pro-worker. This show is decidedly pro-labor, decidedly in favor of the ordinary middle and lower class American who carries this nation on their collective backs. So you can well imagine that it grieves me to know what is being done to working people in organizations like the National Security Administration. Because they are workers, and all in the world they have is the time of their life that they trade out in exchange for a living. But I tend to come down with Ben that an era is coming for refusenik heroes. Refusenik heroes. Let's go back to the phones. Jim wanted to add some commentary. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Just a few things for the record, my friend.
Sure.
Pastor Neil Muller, whom you just referenced, was a U-boat commander in World War I.
He absolutely was.
And also a winner of the Blue Max of the Pool of Marit. And he did not get that medal by being Mr. Nice Guy.
No, he didn't.
And he took his orders from the Admiralty and participated in unrestricted submarine warfare. Now, later on in his life...
He came to repent.
Yes, please, allow me, if you don't mind. And he was allowed to follow the dictates of his own conscience and oppose Adolf Hitler. But one thing about the Final Solution. Now, that was a fairly secretive thing initially. And it was decided on January 20th, 1942, at Gusen am Wannsee, at a meeting that was chaired by Reinhard Heydrich, organized by his deputy, Lieutenant Colonel Adolf Eichmann, and attended by a number of ministry officials, as well as SS personnel.
Yes.
And it was top secret. The only reason we know about it is because Martin Luther's copy, who was the state secretary under von Ribbentrop, who later perished in a concentration camp for disloyalty to Ribbentrop, his copy happened to survive. Unfortunately, you know, you have people who are caught up in a situation in which they are overtaken by events. Now, I'm not making any apologies for the Holocaust, because initially, you know, basically it was a horrible thing. And I have often referenced my own trips to the Holocaust Museum when I lived in Washington, D.C., okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as the average German is concerned, there were a lot of good Germans and a lot of good people in Germany who were overtaken by a situation who really could do nothing. And I can understand their position. And Germany itself, between the World Wars, was put through some pretty rough times. The Treaty of Versailles was very unkind to her. All 448 articles of it were, and you know they were. They were unfair.
They were punitive.
Exactly. And if I were living in Germany at that time, there's no reason that I couldn't say I would not have been a Nazi. I will say that. I can't say that I would or would not have been. But I would certainly have been tempted by the magic of the rally and by the charisma.
Absolutely.
Man who promised to lead me out of a situation which was absolutely horrible and deplorable and unfair.
Well, the rise of Hitler, Jim, was birthed in the drafting of the Treaty of Versailles. I think you're absolutely correct.
And the worldwide depression precipitated his rapid rise to power because things were going along okay during the Weimar Republic until the economic bottom fell out, and that gave him a real platform upon which he could stand.
And the dodges around the demilitarization enforcements gave him an opportunity to artificially create an economic structure that would provide some degree of or some veneer of prosperity.
Well, he had a lot, and he didn't do this by himself. He had Heimar Schott as
Fritz Thyssen,
wizard, and he had lots of well. Thyssen ended up in a concentration camp.
That's true, he did. But he would before that, he was Hitler's angel.
Well, yeah, I mean, of course.
That was back when he was doing business with the Bush family.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is this. You know, you have your conscience, and I have mine. And tonight I have expressed my conscience, and I want to say this. And this is my friend Sir Thomas More. You might not like him. You might not respect him as much as I do. But in the words of Robert Bolt, he said this. When you are sent to heaven for doing your conscience, and this is when they asked Thomas to join the for fellowship's sake.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I could join you tonight for fellowship's sake, but I'm not, and I won't.
Right, nor will I.
But when you are sent to heaven for following your conscience, and I am sent to hell for not doing mine, will all of you out there ask me, or can I ask you to join me for fellowship's sake?
Well, I understand your position, Jim. I entirely do. But
I mean, your comments about the federal worker who does what he's told, this is not a type of military situation. But when you become a member of these agencies, you do take certain oaths, and you do, have to follow orders. And if you have a family, and if you have a position to uphold, it's easy to say, well, I'm just going to quit.
I'm curious, Jim.
I mean, it's not easy.
No,
not all of us can be a Pastor Neil Muller. Not all of us can be a Sir Thomas More. And not all of us can be a Hans and Sophie Scholl. Okay?
I understand. Let me ask you a question. You referenced that when you take a job in the federal civilian service that you take oaths. Is the Constitution mentioned in that oath?
It certainly is.
And we recognize the Constitution as the supreme law of the land.
But unfortunately, it's not a GS-7 or a GS-9 or an 11 or 12 position to ascertain what is constitutional or unconstitutional. My point is this. This is being worked out now, and it is being brought to light, okay?
Yeah.
And the people who are responsible for this are going to be punished. What I stand for is to not punish those people who are not guilty of making this policy. Now, I want to make that clear to everybody within the sound of my voice.
I understand that, but what about those who execute the policy?
Well, if you execute the policy, you're doing what your supervisor tells you to do, and you are following given directives by the agency, and directives are based upon public law and DOD or agency directive, then you have to. Or you are going to be disciplined and separated.
I think you've laid it out very clearly.
Now, those are the consequences. And if you have a family to feed, and if you have food to put on the table, you're going to think twice before you do that. And don't take it out on these guys who are who hew the wood and draw the water. I'm talking about the people at the very top who started this thing. Now, obviously, they will be found out.
Jim, you're very well versed on who said what and who wrote what. Who coined that phrase?
History is my métier.
Right. Who coined that phrase? And I think it was a female writer. I can't remember. The banality of evil.
I don't know. I can't.
When the great Ward Churchill blaze was burning a few months back, he had referenced that himself, talking about the bureaucrats who participated in the Holocaust, and the argument that we put forward as a nation that they were as culpable as the
But
the, the Wehrmacht private who walked them to the gas chambers had a level of culpability that was not necessarily equal to the people who dreamed it up, but there was culpability.
Well, yeah, but still, here's the thing: when you go back to the Final Solution, first we have Hitler making predictions about what he was going to do. He made no bones about it. He said either they're going to either evacuate or I'm going to annihilate. Yeah, that was what he said. He didn't lie about it. Now, as much as I despise that man, he said what he was going to say, and he did what he was going to do. And then, of course, came the 1935 Nuremberg Laws. And they basically predicated everything they did upon law.
Hey, Jim, I've got something I'd like for you to hear real quick, if you don't mind.
And, you know, this is what I'm, the point, what I'm trying to say is this. And in this particular situation, in our situation, where there is greatness of any kind, there is always the chance of great error. And these errors can be corrected. In the case of the Nazis, that's a horrible thing. But it was all predicated upon law, and people were overtaken by events, my friend.
Well,
I fear
that the war on terror is another one of those overtaking events. But I've got a soundbite here. I haven't used it on the show yet, and I think you will really appreciate it because it's got that historical perspective that you do cherish and appreciate. This is Harry Truman in, I believe, 1946 or 1948. Listen for just a second.
Okay.
Now I'm going to tell you how we're not going to fight communism. We're not going to transform our fine FBI into a Gestapo secret police. That's what some people would like to do. We're not going to try to control what our people read and say and think. We're not going to turn the United States into a right-wing totalitarian country in order to deal with a left-wing totalitarian threat.
Pretty sound advice, isn't it?
Yeah, but unfortunately... Obviously, it didn't get across to J. Edgar Hoover, and he was serving right under Truman, and Truman was Hoover was wiretapping everybody ever since 1928 when he became bureau director.
Right, and the point.
Seven administration.
But the point being, Jim, that your point about J. Edgar Hoover is absolutely it is what it is. And yet, can you imagine if you've got a J. Edgar Hoover there, and you've got a guy above him who's not like Truman, who thinks that it's okay? Can you imagine how much more of a horror Hoover could be in the modern era with modern equipment?
Well, yeah,
and that's what we've got right now.
But you know, Mr. Hoover certainly, you know, probably had enough files on Truman, and he always says that his files were a source of great comfort to him. Because, you know, he basically died in harness. Nobody could remove him. LBJ said about him, I'd rather him be on the inside of the tent pissing out on the outside of the tent pissing in.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you know, I mean, what I'm talking about, dear friend, is the politics of reality. I make no apologies for what happened in Nazi Germany. I saw how an ancient and honorable country was corrupted by a lot of bad things and bad people, but I can't condemn all Germans, and I can't condemn these federal employees who follow orders. I just cannot do it, and this is part of my conscience.
Well, I hope there will be an accountability, some level of accountability demanded, but the accountability has to flow downhill because if you take the capstone off the pyramid, the base is still there.
Exactly. And the people who are responsible for these incursions upon the rights of the American people are not the worker bees, the people I defend. They are the leadership. Now, I'll tell you, the other night, I watched the Kennedy Center Honors, and guess who had to sit next to George and Laura?
Who?
Tina Turner.
Oh, that's just wrong.
Well, it was wonderful. Because George looked like a bastard at a family reunion. And every one of the people, the honorees, were wearing rainbow-colored collar mechanisms, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And there's the George W. and Laura sitting in a sea of people who did not care for them. And you can see it. And George, it clearly showed on his face.
Well, was it? It was early in the first Bush administration, or, you know, George W.'s first 4 years. It was early, and I think it was another Kennedy Center Awards when he was caught on tape waving at Stevie Wonder. Do you remember that?
No, I don't. I mean, he was sitting there slouched in his chair, and he was obviously quite bored, and he was very uncomfortable, and you know. And of course, Tina Turner was sitting right next to Laura Bush, and they barely looked at one another. And they had a fantastic thing for Tina Turner, and I've always liked Tina Turner.
Sure.
By her spirit and her ability to overcome just numbing poverty and to escape from a horrible relationship with Ike, and to go on and be her own woman. And Oprah Winfrey was the woman who saluted her, and it was just an incredibly moving experience. And you know, of course, I had tears running down my eyes when I saw it. I thought it was just wonderful. And, you know, but like I say, these people like George Bush and his minions and people who are responsible at the top, they will be found out, just as Hitler and his minions were. I mean, you couldn't hang everybody after World War II in Germany. I mean, even George S. Patton, the guy who was one of the most merciless American generals against the Nazis, he took no prisoners, basically. You know that.
No, yeah.
Even he said, look, if you want me to keep the lights on and the gas running and the phones working, I'm going to have to hire some of these people who were former Nazis, because most of the people in Germany were.
True.
They had to be.
Absolutely.
Or you were excluded from society. I mean,
and we're seeing that again with our response to the former Ba'athists in Iraq. Jim, we got to hit our break.
All right. Good
Take
night.
Care. Bye now. And when we come back, yeah, that's an interesting, because there was a bit I saw in the paper a couple of days ago. Some people elected in the recent Iraqi miracle elections might not be allowed to sit in the government because it turns out they're former Ba'athists. Now, these are either free and fair elections or they're not, aren't they? This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off 2 indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
You know, the president came out and talked about the Iraq War and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Thank you.
That thunder was just in the music, wasn't it? The Chihuahua's not going to run under the bed, is it? No, we're still transmitting. Miracles happen every day. This is Head On, and I am Bob Kincaid, and it's we're having a great time this evening. 25 minutes past the hour, and that was what I mentioned before the break. That was a story that broke the other day. Some people who were elected in these elections have been a fabulous success. In Iraq, you know, the Purple Fingers and all, they may not be seated. Because they used to be members of the Ba'ath Party under Saddam Hussein. Now, I don't know about you, but is there a little bit of hypocrisy there? I mean, do we learn? Is a Republican incapable of learning? One of the first things we did when we rolled into Baghdad was we disbanded the army, and that, you know, there's the seeds of the insurgency. There are the seeds of the insurgency. We pauperized a huge portion of Iraqi culture because they had been members of the same party as Saddam Hussein. And what Jim said is relevant about Patton. He said, you know, there's going to be some Nazis keeping the trains running to the extent that they had railroads to run them on by the end of the war in Germany. But it's the same thing in Iraq. And these people, you know, what did they say? You know, you reality-based people, you study the history, we'll make it up. We watch it every blessed day. Every day we watch these thugs who have stolen our government just make it up as they go along. A story from Reuters today. The United States should free Saddam Hussein if it wants to end its problems in Iraq and earn the friendships of Arabs, the former Iraqi president's lawyer wrote in a letter to U.S. President George W. Bush. Oh, yeah, he's going to read that one just like he's going to read our letters about our banal little days. The chief lawyer for Saddam at his trial for crimes against humanity in Baghdad told Bush that Iraqis who supported their former leader were waiting for a bold decision from the world's most powerful statesman to free him. And this is a quote from the letter. Poor fool. I call on you to release Mr. President Saddam immediately to allow the Iraqis to decide his fate. Only then will you get out of your predicament in Iraq and truly become an advocate of justice, Khalil Dulaimi wrote in a letter obtained by Reuters. Your relations with Iraq will then be historic and you will win the favor of the Arabs and Muslims in the entire world, Dulaimi said, adding that it was the only way to spare Iraq from undergoing a bloody civil war. Now, as far as I'm concerned, if you're gonna try Saddam, then the place to do that is in The Hague. The same place we took Milosevic. Do it extremely carefully. Lay out the facts. And build the case, present the case, and let the World Criminal Court render justice. There's only one problem with that. We don't want to participate in the International Criminal Court. And there are a thousand, there are a bunch of sort of dummied up reasons for not doing that. But one of the reasons I think that underlies it all is the idea that we are an outlaw nation. We are an outlaw nation. We are a nation that exists beyond the law, beyond the scope of the law. We determine what the law is. You know, this is so many Republicans watching so many bad movies, Sylvester Stallone and Judge Dredd sitting there going, I am the law. You know, that's the way they think. That is the way they think. Again, we got to take this government back, or we're done. Let's go to it's time for the Cup of Joe report. So let's take our break. When we come back, more of your phone calls. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. One minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. You know, building a democracy is a lot like building a house or tending a garden. It takes a lot of work to construct, and once finished, it requires constant attention, or else it'll become infested with pests like cockroaches or termites. As nations grow in size and wealth, the political and financial power that comes from it attracts the worst sort of people. Like cockroaches, they prefer to remain hidden while they do their work, and like termites, if left unattended, they can eventually bring the whole house down. And like roaches and termites, we'll never be entirely free of them, but if we work together, we can limit the amount of damage they can do. As I see it, the USA is a house that's rotting from the inside, infested with roaches and termites in the form of self-serving politicians and corporations who see government as a way of filling their pockets and damn the consequences. It's not the first time we face this problem, and it won't be the last, but we've reached a point where it's going to take a lot of work to straighten it all out. Now, we've stood by and done nothing while a lot of damage has been done. A stolen election, an illegal war, an administration and political party that believes it's above the law, all these are serious issues that have been largely ignored because we think we can withstand it. Newsflash, we can't. Other nations and empires have fallen because of this. Ours is not unique. And if we don't get serious about it soon, we won't have a house to live in. Now, get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Welcome back. 27 minutes and change before the hour. We're halfway done on this Thursday night. And we missed most of our prayer meeting edition last night, so we may have to have a little mini prayer meeting toward the end of the program this evening, because I got a couple of things that you might appreciate. Let's go back to the phones, though. Bob in D.C. is waiting. Hey, Bob, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good.
Hey, this is Jack from D.C. I'm one of those incredibly brilliant individuals that you were talking about earlier on the show. I actually voted for Bush. Wanted to see if you had a couple of minutes for a Republican thought.
Well, dude, you're more than welcome.
Well, you know, I've been listening to your show here recently and thought about calling in and just couldn't make my mind up whether, you know, it was worth my time or not to actually do that. But, you know, the liberal web news polluter that was on a couple of callers ago, you know, he was right. The country is making a turn. We made that turn 5 years ago when we got Bush into office. a few twists after 9/11 cause us to become a little overzealous and go after Saddam, and we know that we're in a mess. All Republicans know that. We're not stupid, but now we just got to win.
Why did you put us in this mess?
Do what?
Why did you put us in this mess?
We didn't have any choice.
You didn't?
No, there's no choice after September 11th. Anyone that had a possible beef with the U.S., we had to go after. But, you know, I was listening just a few minutes. You said we're ghettoizing?
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, this liberal spin is making me sick.
There's no spin here. Did you not see the graphics come out after the 2004 election that showed, well, one of them was the United States of Jesus land. Did you see that
it
one?
It is.
And
it
that
sure is.
It's an attempt to make people feel like the liberals and progressives, you know, decent people, feel like that you know, they're just isolated. They're isolated in this big sea of hateful conservatism.
Now, Bob, come on, you sound like a smart man. Think about it. Even in your state, West Virginia, right?
Yeah.
Democrat state.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
How did they vote?
Well, you know, I said,
why would they do that?
Why would they do that?
Because, well, West Virginia is rumored to, you know, be a Bible pounding state, Bible believing state.
We thump it as well or better than anybody out there, and that's precisely why we failed. You know, on November 3rd, I said that on November 2nd we had a statewide IQ test, and we failed in West Virginia by about 14 percentage points.
No, that wasn't it at all.
It was. God's come on, Jack. God's
here.
Gays, guns, and rocks with suggestions for Stone Age peoples. That's what sold West Virginia. Virginia for George Bush.
What sold him for George Bush was his faith. That's what it was.
He
was going to seek a higher power and actually bring some morals to the White House after Clinton got caught. You know, we needed morals in the White House. That's what happened here.
Morals in the White House? Jumping Jehoshaphat, Jack. Morals in the White House? You did not say that.
You know, I was listening to your show the other night, and they were kind of alluding to the numbskull in the White House, and I was like, "Hello, newsflash! Numbskull in White House, numbskull in Congress, we control it."
Yes,
what does that say? If you have an idiot for president and an idiot for Congress, and they were elected by the majority people all across the country, what does that say about the voting public? Either we're idiots, too, or we pick the right people.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to be too terribly mean, but I kind of come down on the idiot part, Jack. I mean, how can working people, for God's sakes, I expect the top 0.1% of this country to vote Republican every time they open the polls. But when, you know, when people who work for a living, you know, here in West Virginia, when people who work for a living go and we analyze the data in minutia after the election, my God, there were 29% of people living in poverty conditions that ran out and voted for George Bush in the last election. You can't begin to tell me that they did that because they had some highfalutin idea that he was going to help them lift themselves up by their bootstraps. They went and they cast that vote, Jack, on nothing but pure hatred and bigotry. This was the elections of George Bush were nothing short of triumphs of hatred and bigotry.
But, you know, what happened is the liberals in media, they start with Bush's war record. They start with his military service record. They start hounding on that. It's proved to be false.
No, it hasn't.
You know, it hasn't been proved to be true.
Yeah, actually,
ask Dan Rather.
Listen, the Dan Rather thing is a marvelous example. That was a matter of shooting the messenger. At no point.
And who was behind that? Think it was the producer at CBS?
At no point did the Bush administration ever refute the information contained within those the allegations. They were never refuted. They attacked the typeface, the font of the paper, but they certainly never refuted the information regarding Bush's military service.
You know, let me bring up something else, if you don't mind.
Sure, go ahead.
It's your show. I appreciate you letting me be on. And, you know, hey, Sean Hannity allows Alan a few words, doesn't he? I was hoping you'd give me the chance.
Yeah, poor little Alan.
Now, let me ask you this. You know, we talked about the NSA episode. You know, the Fourth Amendment reads the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. No warrant shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation.
Yeah.
And, you know what I'm talking about. Well, the Fourth Amendment protects what President Bush has done with the National Security Administration, because it says that they have the right of people to be secure in their home, in person, themselves. If we get bombed at our workplace because of some lunatic terrorist violated my rights, I would much rather trust the people that we put into office to make sure that we're safe.
Jack,
do you not understand
how tortured what you just said is?
What I'm saying.
Wait, please. You just said that you will give up some liberty for some security, and that's the very thing that Ben Franklin said. He said people who will give up some liberty for some security will have neither. And that's exactly what you just described to me.
But what is the purpose for classified information? It's information that we can't handle.
No, it's information that we don't want other people to have.
And you don't think that Britain being able to thwart 9 terrorist attacks on September 11th had anything to do with not eavesdropping on a few suspected nuts in their country?
This isn't Britain. We fought a little dust up starting in 1775
same practice that we are, and it worked there. It's working here. That's why there has not been another terrorist attack.
There have been, if you recall, the State Department report came out a year or so ago and said the Bush administration even went so far as to retract it and redact it because it turns out that there have been more terrorist attacks since 9/11. We are not safer under George Bush.
But you go back to 9/11, it was you crats that had the problem saying we should have done more. There was no communication, yada, yada, yada. Now we're trying to do the things right to make sure that we're on top of the game instead of behind the eight ball. Because it's a Republican, not a Democrat, that makes it wrong.
No, because I would despise a Republican or a Democrat, either one, that I caught spying on the American people.
Oh, you don't think this was done in previous administrations? See, that would come out if it wasn't classified.
You can't argue the...
You don't think that's ever happened?
In point of fact, the Republican spin machine and the liberal media tried to run that up the flagpole. Carter did it, Clinton did it, it's all Clinton's fault. They tried that, and it was patently disproved from the get-go because Drudge did it. He used part of a quote and forgot and left off the other part. Every time that the Clinton administration did it, they went to the FISA court and got a court order. And it's not really difficult to do, Jack, for heaven's sakes. 19,000 of these wiretap orders have been issued since 1978. Only 4 have been refused, maybe 5. It's not like you're asking the Bush administration to jump through hoops here.
And find out how many of those have stopped a terrorist attack. It's been the ones that have been secretive. Now that's ruined, and it's because of a whistleblower. I agree with your caller, Jim, there. I think he's a Democrat in disguise, by the way. But I will tell you this. I believe that, whistleblowers, for the most part, not in all cases, but for the most part, have a hidden agenda. Do I need to bring up Bill Clinton? A whistleblower there got him in trouble.
Whistleblower. Oh,
God. Have hidden agendas. And I'll leave you with one other thought, Bob, and then I'll be anxious to sit and listen to your show. And I'm sure, I'm sure there are other Republicans that are probably listening to the show just like I do. I sit back and laugh, and I think, you've got to be kidding me.
Well, go ahead and laugh, because while you're laughing, Jack, we've got work to do. And I and other decent people, Democrats, progressives, liberals, we will fix this country because you and the people like you who voted for this god-awful monster have broken the nation. We have a $500 billion deficit now. Thanks. No, don't blame
thanks
it all on
war.
George. Thanks to you. You, Jack.
I'll leave you with this prediction. Kerry's out. Hillary will run for your party, for the Kraft Party. She'll face McCain. McCain wins. The House stays Republican. You heard it here first on Head On.
Oh, mercy. That's enough to make me just want to go into the basement. Thanks, Jack. Our first lurker. I've lost my virginity. Oh, God, I need a break. My head hurts. Clinton did it too? Clinton did it too? Oh, God. Jimmy Carter spied on the American people? We can only be safe by becoming a police state. You heard it. You did. You heard it here first on Head On. And I'm not gonna scream, and I'm not gonna carry on. This is a conversation show. It's a dialogue show. But my God, you heard it. You heard it said. That's how they think. They will sell your constitutional rights out for a runny bowl of porridge. Heavens to Betsy. Honestly, I got to take a shower or something. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. She can't remember a time when she felt needed. If love was red, then she was colorblind. All her friends, well, they've been tried for treason and crimes that were never defined. She's saying, love is like a barren place. Reaching out for human faith is, it's like a journey I just don't have a map for. So baby, gonna take a dive and we'll shift to overdrive and send a signal that she's hanging all the hoops on the stars. What a blessing. Just saying, love.
McGruff, the crime dog, here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is...
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scruff, McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write...
Scruff, McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scruff, McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ad Council.
On December 8, 1997, our 7-year-old son, Evan, was murdered after signing up for basketball.
It was very devastating. Just very devastating. And the victims program provided the resources for us to get the counseling that we needed.
Alec was also injured. They helped pay for Alec's cornea transplant.
They stood by us through the court process.
If you or someone you love have been a victim of violent crime, there is help available for you.
Crimevictims.gov.
Why should our children learn another language?
Everybody in the world doesn't speak English.
To succeed in this shrinking world, our children will need to communicate in more than one language.
So you could make new friends from different countries.
For our kids' sake, it's time to speak up for language education. Find out how at yearoflanguages.org.
That makes me confident.
Sponsored by the American Council on the Teaching of Foreign Languages.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the hour. Let's go straight to the phones. Fritz is back with us. Hey, Fritz, you're Head On. Thanks for rejoining.
Hey. And I'm not going to take a lot of your time.
That's okay.
I'm going to tell you a little story. It's 1986, and there's an exam tomorrow, next Monday, and it's Friday. And it's been on the syllabus since the beginning of the semester. And I'm getting complaints from my students that there is a football game on Sunday, and so, you know, they won't have time to study for the exam.
Yeah.
You know, now, what I'd like to tell your last caller is that I don't know what the hell he's thinking, but we live in a society that's likely to be the most profoundly resistant to critical thinking since the invention of the printing press. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why George Bush is in office.
No, I tend to agree.
You know, it's like when I taught back then, I used a style of teaching known as paired problem solving. That is, I did as little lecturing as possible, and the tests involved taking principles and applying them to analogous or hypothetical situations that reflected the principles. In other words, you could not get by memorizing.
Right. You had to think.
And I got a bunch of kids come out of high school who thought that that's what science was all about, at least biological science. You know, that it was a bunch of strange Latin words that you went home and memorized the night before the test.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the story that I just told.
Right.
And, you know, if you look at the pattern of the way most Americans spend their quote-unquote leisure time, it ain't reading newspapers and it ain't reading critical treatises.
No. No, it's not.
You know?
It was a couple of nights ago, I was listening to Peter Werbe subbing for Mike Malloy on Air America.
Yeah, I love Peter.
And he had a question. He was soliciting audience responses, Fritz, about Internet addiction.
Yes, I did hear a piece of that, in fact.
And you know, I didn't call in, but I got to thinking about it because I sit here absorbing information almost through the livelong day. And I'm the same way. I have to force myself out, go walk around, you know, get a little fresh air, that kind of thing. But it's not an addiction situation.
No, because, Bob, as you're absorbing it, you are critically evaluating it.
Processing.
What you already know.
Exactly. And, frankly, I think we would be better off with a few more information junkies in this country, not to say that I'm the model, but we would be better off with a few more information junkies and a few less American Idol watchers.
Yeah, TV has got to be one of the most destructive pieces of electronics ever devised. It really is amazing. And as an educator, I've seen it over and over and over again, and I don't do it anymore, but I saw about 15 years of it. And again, I'd like to tell all your Republican listeners who think that there was this vastly literate and critical thinking public that elected old George, it ain't the case, folks. Guess what? It ain't the case. That's all I want to say, Bob.
All right, thanks, Fritz. I appreciate it. Always good to hear from you. And rolling on to Jeff. Hey, Jeff, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, what's up?
How you doing? Did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, about as good as all the rest of them.
Good. let me extend condolences right away on the destruction of your alma mater. That was sad and it hurt.
My alma mater, Cleveland Brown?
No. Marsh Fork High School.
Oh, well, you know, yeah. I don't know.
There's a lot of people that tore up down there.
Well, it should have been something could have been done with it other than that. But something seems shady about it because it was going to be an EPA nightmare to get rid of.
Because it was just filthy with asbestos, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And probably had lead pipes in it.
Well, there was a good letter in the paper. Was it this morning? Bo Webb wrote a letter talking about that. That was quite interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame. I think it'd take a nut to do that, because, man, they catch you doing that. They put you under the jail.
Exactly.
But, you know, the FISA court's going on with that, with what the previous Bob said. That
was Jack, actually. That was my mistake.
Oh.
Jack. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. But the judges have modified 179 of the 5,645 FISA court requests from the Bush administration.
Mm-hmm. That's ultimately why they began bypassing it.
Right. When you know how many were modified before 2001 to 78?
I know that only four or five were outright refused. I don't know what the other number is.
Two,
yeah.
You know.
So is that liberal judges?
The FISA court judges, I have no idea who those guys are. I think they're secret.
Well, no, it's a rotating panel. You rotate onto the FISA court.
From the circuit court?
I believe it is from the circuit. I don't think it's from the DC. I don't think it's from the district courts.
Well, it's just hard to tell. I don't know if it was a liberal court or not, but you know, it seems like that they were getting kind of modified a lot. then maybe...
Well, isn't that what that court is there for, to make sure that the law is appropriately applied?
Well, the argument can be made that they have authority to do that when it's an international call.
I've read the FISA Act, and I'm not sitting here arguing against FISA. I'm arguing against war. I'm not even arguing against wiretapping American citizens when there's a legal justification. All I want is for the law to be followed.
Well, it says that they're allowed to. They may authorize electronic surveillance without a court order under this subchapter to acquire foreign intelligence information. That's what it says, for periods of up to a year, if the Attorney General certifies it in writing under oath.
Yes, and there's a little bit more to it than that. I don't have the statutory language right here in front of me. But you've got 72 hours. You can start the thing and go back ex post facto 72 hours later and get it.
Well, the argument that it seems like that the Democrats are trying to make is that if bin Laden calls, which for anybody from Al-Qaeda, calls somebody in Germany, it's legal to listen to that.
That is true.
But if he calls somebody in New York, we can't listen to that. That's the argument that your side's making.
No, that's not the argument that we're making.
Well, can we listen then? If bin Laden, we used to have bin Laden's phone tapped and it leaked out, and then he don't do that.
Actually, that was debunked, Jeff.
No.
Yeah, it was. Yes, it was. Bin Laden. You know who leaked the information about bin Laden's secret satellite phone?
It's hard to tell.
Bin Laden.
But anyway,
bin Laden did.
If they call, you're saying if he calls New York City, we can't listen.
No, we're not. No one's even remotely saying that, Jeff.
That's what you're saying.
No, I am absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
I am saying that you cannot, without a warrant or a court order, which is what the Fourth Amendment says.
One thing
you cannot just willy-nilly tap everybody's phone and
well,
hope. Yeah, among other things,
it's another misconception that's being put out by the left. Bush doesn't communicate certain things well. He needs to say, look, this does not affect 99.9999999% of the people in the United States.
There are 10 people who were wrongly imprisoned based upon these abuses of power.
One of them's name isn't Ferris and the other in Padilla, is it?
I'm not. No, there might be part of that process, but there are eight or ten others who were wrongly imprisoned based upon this abuse of power. What about them?
Who are they?
They are people who were nabbed in so-called counterterrorism operations who turned out to be innocent.
Oh, I've never heard of those guys before.
Well, it probably wasn't on Drudge, Jeff.
Well, you know, I don't look at Drudge that much, but. You know, I've yet to see one confirmed abuse of the Patriot Act or these wiretaps.
Really?
Padilla was.
How about the DOD spying on Quakers in Florida?
I haven't seen anything about that.
It wasn't on Newsmax either. How about the DOD, the Pentagon spying on a peace group in San Diego?
What about Hillary Clinton having 500 FBI files? What about Clinton's
I knew this is what it would get down to.
What about Clinton's Echelon program that us...
Every time Echelon was used, a court order was obtained.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
Now, when it was used outside American American territory...
They just got Australia to do it for it.
Right. When it was done outside American territory,
so
look, the Constitution. I would love to give the American Constitution to the entire world. Unfortunately, we can't do that yet.
Australia's sitting and trolling every single call made, and if a certain keywords come up, they go, "Yoo-hoo, Washington, look here what we found."
Yeah, on stuff that wasn't inside the United States.
Also, if Bush did this, if we set up the monitoring
Canada. Jeff, I think here is the easier analysis. This is the easy way to get about it. What wouldn't you let George Bush do?
Bush isn't doing anything, and you're going to find out. You're not going to see the serious Democrats calling for impeachment. Yes,
John Conyers isn't serious?
John Conyers is in a very, very safe congressional seat. Nobody that's in
Barbara Boxer isn't serious?
Who?
Barbara Boxer?
She's not going to get voted out either. Anybody that can be voted out in a close race is not going to come out. These are only Democrats who are in very safe seats, in in places to 30-40%.
How about former right wing freak Republican congressman from Georgia, Bob Barr? He says that George Bush broke the law.
Well, I think I put him over in the Zell Miller camp, you know what I mean?
Oh, what? He's gone over to the dark Democrat side, is that it?
Well, I think that he's a nut.
I mean, this is the guy who was just absolutely screaming for the head of Bill Clinton over a consensual sex act, and he says that George Bush has clearly broken the law. Jonathan Turley, who was part of the impeachment process, an advisory lawyer for it, says George Bush violated the Constitution. The list is getting pretty long, and I think it's more than just nutcase Democrats. Jeff, good to hear from you. Have a good new year. We got to hit the break.
Thanks for giving me a chance.
Later. Okay, break. I'm Bob. Yeah, you know.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buzz.
All right, what a night. You guys are just making it super. Especially after the sad, miserable abortion that was last night. Oh. Quick email before we go back to the phones from our pal Sue in the United Kingdom, a Welsh lady. She says, congratulations on your first Republican caller, though I think it was a guy from what King George II calls NASA, LOL, pulling your chain. You know, dear leader refers to the National Security Administration as NASA, don't you? Yeah, he really does. There is no longer any doubt in my mind, Sue writes, that your country is in serious trouble, and I hope you will be able to take it back through the ballot box. Failing that, massive civil disobedience is the only nonviolent option left. I can't help having a niggling feeling that the court of King George II is almost trying to provoke a violent reaction from the people. I guess I'm just naturally suspicious. Nah, it's not just you, Sue. The Civil War's already started. They just haven't gotten to the bullets part yet. I'm glad to hear Jim back, she says. But Jeff, did he really say, what about Clinton? And she R-O-F-L. I do think Americans need to forget the Democrat-Republican thing and just decide if they want to live in a republic or a dictatorship. Watch your back. Thanks, Sue. And to the phones, Wayne is with us. Hey, Wayne, you're head on.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Oh, what a night.
I'm doing good. I didn't realize I was going to follow Jeff.
You've done that before.
Yes, I have. And, you know, I don't know. Jeff's the number guy. What doesn't he understand about 72 hours?
Not tough to comprehend, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, what the law says, you could do anything you want for 72 hours, then you have to tell us. Well, in 72 hours, you ought to be able to justify whether you want to carry on with this damn thing or not.
If what you're after is a conversation, you know, if the Uniblab 10,000 has just picked up the word anthrax or whatever the code is for dirty bomb or whatever, I would guess you can probably get that information in 72 minutes, let alone 72 hours.
Yes, you could. You know, I mean, I don't know. This is an amazing show. I mean, what's happened tonight and the people that called and that guy Jack, who I'm going to get to in a minute. But this is good. This is what talk radio is about.
Yes.
This discussion. Jack, I hope you're still listening. You got a voice. I could not get that voice on Rush Limbaugh. I couldn't get it on Hannity. I couldn't get it on any of the right-wing things that you call talk radio. At headonradio.com with Bob Kincaid, you can get that. You can have a voice.
Thank you.
It's true. Is that not true?
It absolutely is. I mean, it takes a lot to push me over the edge into a full bore, you know, frothing at the mouth, screaming frenzy.
Okay, and I'm going to get off Jeff because, he really makes me mad. I know who Jeff is. I know what Jeff is a working person, and I don't care what you do. I don't care what your job is, if you're the bank executive or what the guy that cleans a toilet in the transit authority in New York City. If you go to work every day, you're an honorable person.
Yeah,
you're a good person.
Yeah, and if somebody else signs your checks every week or 2 weeks or whatever, you are a worker.
Exactly. But carrying on with that thought, you do not owe that person your undying loyalty if that person is going to break the law or tells you that he's going to break the law and wants you to be a co-conspirator.
Exactly.
Your obligation is over to that person.
Yeah.
Okay. Jack, I don't know what, I get a little bit mad at sometimes I hear all these voices and people and all that, and I don't know who they are, what they do, or whatever. Or if they told us, some of them, I don't even know if they tell the truth. My name's Wayne Rebich. I'm a union representative. I represent union construction workers. That's what I do. I think Jack's a bricklayer. because they're one of my biggest pains in the ass. Okay, if I'm wrong, Jack, call in and tell us what you do, you know. But mainly I just called to say this is exceptional. I am, well, this is talk radio at its finest. And I think that the reason that people like Jeff listen and Jack listen and stuff like that, because they're not so convinced that they're right. And I'm here to tell them they ain't right. What these people are doing to us is they have destroyed our former government. They have ripped up the Constitution and wiped their butt with it. Now, that's what they've done.
Yeah.
And it's time for all true Americans to stand up and say enough is enough. And that starts with the working people. And that starts with the legislatures and senators and, you know, all these people that want to represent us. Well, you better damn well start representing the working people.
I think.
Because if you don't, the working people is going to kick your ass.
Sounds good. Yeah. And there's, but I'd like to add something to that, Wayne. You talk about, you know, in legislature, Congress, what, you know what, if we want to turn, and this goes back to something Fritz said, too, if we want to turn this country back to blue, we do, you know, it's not just who's running for Congress. It's who's running for library council. It's who's running for party executive committee. It's who's running for county surveyor.
That's exactly right. And, well, that brings up a very good point, because I wanted to bring that up until Jeff called. And,
I know.
Then, you know.
I know.
Then I have to start thinking about all kinds of other stuff. But, and that is the place to start. Democrats, you know, find out who your executive committee is. Find out what they think and believe. And if they don't think and believe and want to do what we need to do, then you run.
Yeah.
The executive committee.
Exactly.
You know, and I'm running. I'm going to run in Raleigh County. I guarantee that.
Well, congratulations.
I'm going to run for the executive committee of the Democratic Party. Now, you know.
I think you'll do fine there.
Well, we need. Listen, and no disrespect to our older elected officials in the Democratic Party,
mm-hmm.
but this is a new age. This is, you know, we have to do things different, and we can't. The Republicans don't take the year off in between.
No, they don't take Sundays off.
Year elections. They have elections. They work constantly, and we have to do that. And, you know, a lot of our people on these executive committees are in their 70s and 80s, you know.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, I'm no pup either.
But, no, but you know, those older committee persons and so forth have a tremendous amount to teach the younger people. And, you know, it's almost like a professor emeritus kind of situation. Take someone under your wing, but understand that, you know, with youth and vigor comes a willingness to maybe do things a little bit differently.
Well, exactly. We will always consider your counsel, but we may not go that way.
Precisely. And, you know, the days of emery boards with the candidate's name on it and packages of sunflower seeds are over.
Right, and go along, get along, blah, no, 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 we can't do that anymore. You know, I mean, a county that in the last couple elections has lost one senatorship and two legislative seats.
Hasn't much to crow about.
Job.
No.
You know, we can't. What are we going to do? Well, the same thing we did last year. You didn't do nothing last year.
Precisely. And we're going to do it again. Really good. Yeah.
You know, how about, you know, step aside here and let somebody that wants to do something. Let somebody that's, you know, and age is, you know.
Yeah, and that, but.
Matter, that's mind.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm an old guy, but I still think I'm 37.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
You fight like a 20-year-old.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but I was pretty tough when I was 20.
I mean, the fighting spirit. And again, this is not a West Virginia issue. This is an America issue.
It's a national issue.
You know,
these people have stolen our government from us. You know, like, the thing that...
They stole our government. They stole our money, Wayne.
Huh?
They stole our government. They stole our money.
They stole everything. They stole our heart and soul.
Yeah.
That's what they stole. And that's worth more than money. They stole our heart and soul. America is no longer revered as the greatest country in the world.
No, we're reviled.
Exactly. That's wrong.
That's sickening.
That is wrong. And that was not under that big sex freak Bill Clinton. That came under these son of a bitch.
Yeah, I remember.
Now that's where it came from. And, you know, it's time to stand up.
During the Clinton administration, he would go abroad. I remember a story about a group of women and men who walked something like 50 miles. When he visited Africa, they walked 50 miles to see this man who was giving America an idea that they could put their trust, giving the world that they could put their trust back in this nation again. And in less than 1 year of the first Bush term, that was all gone. All that goodwill just destroyed.
Right. And they want to brag about how great things are in Iraq and all the wonderful things. If all that's true, why do they have to go there secretly? Why do we have to find out a day later? Oh, dumb Ron, you know, Rumsfeld.
Dumb Rumsfeld. Yeah.
You know, or Cheney.
Yeah, snuck in.
He always shows up in mysterious places from his undisclosed location or wherever the hell he lives.
Vice President Secret Squirrel. Secret Squirrel, Wayne.
Ah, God. But listen, man, I think, you know, people are getting emboldened. And we need to do that. And who was it, Jack?
Yeah.
Hey, Jack, call back again, man. I enjoy that. You know, I think that was good. Jack's shaking, man. He never called. You know, he wants to come to our side.
He's weak. He's weak in his faith, Wayne.
Right. Who's that? What's the Star Wars thing?
Yeah, the Force.
Yeah,
the Force is not
strong. Come to the light.
Yeah.
Come to the light, Jack.
Right.
Don't be afraid.
The Force is strong with us.
Right. We're nice guys.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we have all kinds of fun. Thanks, Wayne.
Hey, hell of a show, man. You and Agnes are doing one hell of a job. I want to tell you that.
Appreciate it.
Maybe when is your, what do they call that thing in the stock? IUP?
IP. Or
something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, our initial offering or, yeah.
Something like that. Well, you know, maybe you ought to consider that because you guys are great.
All right. Thanks.
All right, brother.
Later.
Bye.
Okay. A little over. Let's go ahead and take the break. We'll come back and, I don't know, maybe a little prayer meeting stuff. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself
at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Miners and mine operators understand the dangers inherent in working at a mine site. They also know how to avoid those hazards, but will they do it? Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Many recent fatalities in the mining industry have resulted from bad safety decisions. For example, one victim fell from an elevated platform because he was not wearing a safety line. Tragedies like this don't have to happen if everyone in the mining workplace thinks about the job and makes the right decision. Safety begins with you. If you're about to perform electrical work, lock out and tag out before you start the work. Make the right decision. If you're a truck driver, you can choose whether to wear the seat belt. Make the right decision. MSHA's message to you is make the right decision in the mining workplace. Decide to be safe. Thank you for listening.
Three minutes past the hour. What a wonderful night. This may be one of the best nights we've had. Lurkers included. I do want to shift gears and hit a few news stories that you may or may not have seen banging around in the liberal media. Not the least of which. Now, we need to... gather your thoughts, Bob. People like Congressman Tom Tancredo from Colorado, a godless, soulless, motherless Republican, if ever there was one, has decided, you know, he's putting forward things like saying that if these constitutional amendments to, for instance, not grant citizenship to babies born in the United States, because, you know, they can then bring their families over. Can you imagine that? The baby born in the United States has to wait 18 years, and the babies do it? Well, that's a hell of a plot. You know, this anti-immigration stuff. There is never a moment, there is never a single solitary moment when the Republicans will not try to find some way, you know, be it financial, cloak it in compassionate conservative, what have you. There is never a moment that these godless bastards won't try to manifest their hatred and their bigotry one way or another. There's something... under consideration in Congress called the Illegal Immigration Control Act of 2005. This is a story from the DallasNews.com and apparently KVUE-TV, author Lee McGuire. This bill has passed the House of Representatives. And for those of you who are compassionate of spirit and who do consider yourself, or who consider your spirituality a significant portion of your nature, this is going to make you howl. The Illegal Immigration Control Act of 2005, as passed by the House of Representatives, may very well make felons out of Christians. Now, I'm talking about the real Christians. I'm not talking about the religion industry.
Because those, no. I'm talking about the people who move among the people that Yeshua the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter moved among. This bill says that if you, well, it bars anyone from helping another individual stay in the United States. And that includes church outreach ministries. Interviewed in this story was Don Bergstrom of Ascension Lutheran in Austin. He's the caretaker of the church's lending closet. They've got a stockpile of medical equipment people have donated to the church that's given to anyone who asks. See, they have to have this stockpile there at Ascension Lutheran because we live in a country that doesn't believe that every single solitary one of its citizens, let alone anyone else, deserves to go to the doctor when they're sick. Or deserves to have necessary medical equipment just because they're, what, human. We don't have a government that believes in that. You believe in it. I believe in it. The vast majority of Americans, when asked straight up, should everybody be able to go to the doctor when they need to? Absolutely! And then you get the Republican spin machine moving into it, and you know, then it's, do you remember the stupid commercials that the insurance industry ran when the Clinton administration was trying to get some form of health care reform through? Well, I'm afraid my doctor could become a felon. Remember those stupid, stinking lies? Well, the Illegal Immigration Control Act of 2005 will make felons of people who are doing Christ's work on earth. Because the Ascension Lutheran of Austin, Texas, has been warned that if they give out equipment from their lending closet, you know, things like the little stand that you clamp onto your bathtub so folks who are a little shaky on their feet can have something to hold on to. You know, a potty chair, okay? An egg crate foam mattress that helps bedridden people avoid bed sores. You ever seen a decubitus sore? Ain't pretty. They have been warned that if they give that to an illegal immigrant, that they are felons. You heard me right. All the decent folks in the Tom Hartman chat room and folks listening through White Rose and our European friends. Can you believe this? Can you believe this? The Republican Congress wants to make felons of people who give worn used medical equipment to, you know, those people. The ones with the accents that don't speak English, because we all know English should be the official language, right? Yeah, sure. You know, the brown-skinned people. This makes me sick at my soul. Now, Don Bergstrom says that if you need an egg crate for your bed, I've got an egg crate for your bed. If you need extension pillows, I've got extension pillows. It makes us, he says he'll give equipment to nearly anyone in need, but under the bill passed by the House, Ascension Lutheran Pastor Brian Peterson worries that will get them in trouble.
You're an American, aren't you, boy? You can't have any help unless you're an American.
Somebody tell me. Where does the word American appear in the Beatitudes? Where once does Jesus talk about how only Americans are deserving of compassion? Isn't this a tangential offshoot of the parable of the Good Samaritan? A week ago, Bergstrom said, I gave a walker, a potty chair, and a commode extension to people I know were illegals. That's not my job to judge who they are or what they are. My job is to help them. No, no, I'm sorry, Mr. Bergstrom, it's not. In George Bush's America, Bushmerica, that's with three Ks, in Bushmerica, your job is not to help people. Your job is to hurt them. Because these people who dare call themselves Christians, these people live for their bigotry. And understand this is bigotry. And understand that all of this, we got to have immigration reform right now, Mavis, all of that stuff is bigotry. Pure and simple, this isn't about national security. This is about keeping the brown poor people down. Oh, no, you know, it might be an Arab terrorist coming through the Mexican border via Honduras. You know, them Mexicans and Honduras, they sure do look a lot like the Arabs. That's how they think. That is honest to God how they think. It is bigotry pure. The national security is the white sheet over the beating Republican Klansman's heart. National security is a convenient excuse for hating people who just want to come to America because they've heard that business about I lift my lamp beside the golden door. But, you know, they're not good enough, are they? Any person of faith should absolutely be screaming in the streets over this. Can you imagine becoming a felon because you offered comfort to a sick or ailing individual who turned out to be not quite American enough? What happened to Pappy Bush's 1,000 points alight? They're not for the little brown ones. Barbara Bush. That's what she calls Jeb Bush's kids, in the little brown ones. It takes my breath away. I'm a recovering Southern Baptist. Many of you know that. And so one of the few things that was redeeming in that experience was a genuine desire to help. I remember as a kid being taken in church groups to go and we worked carrying groceries, because you know we were pretty well off middle class little white bread kids. And we would go and carry groceries at the Salvation Army on Christmas and Thanksgiving. And it was a viable experience. And it was a valid experience. It was a good experience. And now a Republican-dominated Congress has declared that reaching out and giving unto the poor is a felony. They want it to be a felony. Get your sheets out, boys. Get them out. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
There are many, many crazy things that will keep me loving you. And with your permission, may I list a few. The way you wear your hat, the way you sip your tea, the memory of all that. No, no, they can't take that away from me. The way your smile just beams. The way you sing off key.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to three lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. One minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
You know, the president came out and talked about the Iraq War and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Welcome back. Now, see, I referenced... I'm Bob Kincaid, by the way. I referenced the Klan a couple of minutes ago, and I know that always gets a response from the people who, you know, well, right-wingers, because they hate being associated with the Klan. Well, you do remember, don't you, all the I don't want them homosexuals to get married, that kind of thing. You remember all that, right? During the last election cycle? Everybody, all the Republicans, can we just hate gay people a little bit more? Remember all that? Sure you do. This is a story over at 365gay.com. Headline, KKK rallies to oppose gay marriage. I can't make this stuff up. Dateline Des Moines, Iowa. The Ku Klux Klan is preparing to stage a demonstration next month in Des Moines to protest a lawsuit seeking marriage equality for same-sex couples. The protest and rally is being organized by the leader of the Klan's Northern Iowa branch. We don't believe God's law should be perverted any more than it already has been, said Douglas Sadler, 41 years upon this earth, oddly enough, who identified himself as the region's Imperial Claylif. Claylifs? They've got claylifs? I've heard of claverns and klaxons and Klingons, but Klaloths? The lawsuit that's pending in Iowa has to do with having Iowa's Defense of Marriage Act struck down. Because, frankly, either we're going to be a nation of laws and not of men, and everybody's going to have the same class of citizenship, or we're not, and we'll just, you know, there's that word, we'll ghettoize people for what they do when the lights go out. Weird. No, just, and but bear in mind, these, we come in peace. These are the people that are allied with the Republican Party. These are the shock troops of the Republican Party. You know, these are the hateful relatives that they don't talk about, that the Republicans don't talk about, but when they need a good kneecapping, you know where they run. Let's see, Imperial Claylif. Claven, Imperial Claylif Douglas Sadler also said, the further we go away from God's law, the further we get away from God. We don't believe they have the right to marry. In fact, we don't think they have the right to exist. We don't think they have the right to exist. I know the Republicans just hate it when I do this, but how do you reckon Imperial Claylif Sadler votes? Why, he votes with Jack. He votes with other Republicans. He votes like Dennis Rader, the BTK serial killer in Kansas, voted, a registered Republican. That's how they vote. The Klan doesn't have a Klan ticket. They don't have a Klan slate. No, sunshine, they vote Republican. Every time. Because the special interests of the Negroes has taken over the Democrat Party. Yeah, you understand that, right? This is the religious right. Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, James Dobson, they could all sit down with Imperial Claylif Sadler and have a fine old Sunday go-to-meeting dinner on the ground. They sure enough could. Only about a dozen members of the American White Knights of the Ku Klux Klan appeared at Austin City Hall in Texas for the group's pro-family values rally. That was before the election, last month, in which Texas decided to vote with the Klan. Do ordinary Republicans understand who they're in bed with? Do they understand that they are when you oppose things like letting two people choose to be with each other based on whether or not they love each other, not based on plumbing? Do they understand that when they do that, they're voting with the Klan? Newsflash: the Republican Party is the Klan. And the Klan is the Republican Party. What is that? Is that the reflexive theory or what? I don't remember my algebra. But there you have it. Let's take a break. A couple of phone calls when we get back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Time to take a look back from the caboose and follow the tracks of my life, the tangled about lying true. And I know it's just me, my point of view, but those are the important two. Yeah, I don't need a check with a crown. Wouldn't it be nice to be proud?
Hey, Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
All right. Downhill to 10 now. Quick to the phones. Jeff's back with us. Hey, Jeff, sorry you had to wait. Thanks for waiting.
That's all right. You don't sound too serious about controlling the borders.
I'm plenty serious about controlling the borders. The way you control the borders is by imprisoning for a long, long time the rich people who hire illegal immigrants.
Who did Lee Boyd Malvo work for?
Lee Boyd Malvo, the D.C. sniper?
Yes.
What about him?
Well, who'd he work for? What rich people hired him?
Offhand, I'm not getting you. I don't understand.
He was here illegally.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And that's an illegal immigration problem? I mean, he was... He did that not because he came under the sway of a crazy man. He did that because he was an evil Jamaican. Is that your point, Jeff?
He was here illegally. That's the point. You know, you want to kind of... don't want to control our borders and let illegal people in, but...
Jeff, his illegality was not what caused that mayhem and that misery.
Would he have killed 10 Americans if he wasn't here?
Would it matter to you if he'd killed 10 Jamaicans? No.
Oh, so we're responsible for his actions in Jamaica now?
Well, apparently you want to be. I mean, you're concerned with whether he's going to kill 10 people. He became a killer because he fell under the sway of, oh God, what was the guy's name? I don't even remember anymore. Something Muhammad?
John Muhammad.
Yeah. He came under that crazy guy's sway.
Well, see, we had him. And we tagged him for immediate deportation, and the Border Patrol said, get him out of here. Him and him.
How about controlling the borders? I mean, if you're for border control, how about controlling the borders in regard to the Saudis?
I'm not sure how many illegal Saudis there are here.
What if they're here legally and they do terrorism, Jeff?
Princess
Tenderfoot, or whatever her name was, gave millions of dollars to the World Association of Muslim Youth, and that was nothing but a front group for terrorism.
Mm-hmm. And how much money did the Saudis give to Clinton's library?
Probably a few million.
Okay. That's not the first time.
It's Clinton's fault, Jeff. I understand. It's Clinton's fault. Sure.
Well, you're trying to act like it happens with one and it doesn't the other.
No, I'm not acting like it happens with one and it doesn't the other. I'm pointing out the hatefulness of your side. And can you get behind this, Jeff? Are you behind? Do you support the Illegal Immigration Act of 2005 that says it's a felony for a church to give bandages to a human being because they're from the wrong country?
To give what to them?
Bandages, medical equipment, help.
Oh. No, but I'm not.
Well,
sure.
That's your party doing that, Jeff.
I'm not sure that that's in there, though. I haven't read. I'd have.
Yeah, it is. You can go and look at the full text in PDF of the bill. If you go to WD40.com, the story from Dallas Morning News is linked there. WD40.com.
Well, that's not exactly a fair and balanced website, but you know.
Jeff, daggum, Jeff, they're just linking to a news story. They're not offering commentary on it. It's just the news story from the Dallas Morning News, okay? And you can look at the bill, and you can see that, yeah, it's going to criminalize people who reach out in the name of Christ.
We tried to abolish the INS, and actually the House did vote to abolish it, and it got drugged down and stopped by Ted Kennedy. We were going to try to put it under the office of the Lieberman Homeland Security. Now, I don't know if we like the INS on its own or under that.
Well, you might not want to do that, Jeff, because they just got their report card, and the Department of Homeland Security is woefully insecure, according to the report.
That was, and don't forget, that was Lieberman's big idea. Bush wasn't real hot on that.
No, but he got on it as soon as he saw that he could make some political hay out of it. Jeff, I got to roll on.
I understand.
All right, take care.
Bye.
WD40.com. You heard us talking maybe with Dookie earlier this evening. It's the link. Bill could prohibit churches from helping immigrants. And yeah, there's a link to the legislation itself as passed by the House. Oh, and by the way, just because it's worth mentioning, it's been 3 years since George Bush declared that he had zero tolerance for human trafficking by the government's overseas contractors. It's been 2 years since Congress put that into law, and the Department of Defense still does not have a policy against trafficking in human beings. So, you know, we hate the Mexicans who come across the border, but if Halliburton wants to kidnap, as they kind of did, wants to kidnap 12 Nepali men and executed en route to jobs at an American military base, that was 2004. If Halliburton wants to traffic in human misery and human beings, well, that's okay. But boy, I tell you what, we got to get after them Mexicans, don't we? Do you understand the depth and the depravity of the Bush administration? You know, W confessed to murdering 30,000 innocent Iraqi civilians. We know the number's probably more like 130,000 now. And he went on, and you know, if I had to make the decision again, I'd still go to war in Iraq. And the doofus doesn't understand why they blow themselves up to kill us. And he doesn't Rumsfeld said, dead enders, called them dead enders, and then let's see, what was it, last May, Dick Cheney, the insurgency's in its last throes. Oh, by the way, you're going to love this. You know how we're fighting for a unified Iraq? Dateline Kirkuk, Kurdish leaders have inserted more than 10,000 of their militia members into the Iraqi army divisions. You know, those Iraqi army divisions that George says are so up and running and ready to go and defend themselves. And when they stand up, we can stand down, sit down, hoe down, you know. Kurdish leaders have inserted more than 10,000 of their militia members into Iraqi army divisions in northern Iraq to lay the groundwork to swarm south, seize the oil-rich city of Kirkuk and possibly of half of Mosul, Iraq's third-largest city, and secure the borders of an independent Kurdistan. This is from Knight Ridder newspapers. 5 days of interviews with Kurdish leaders and troops in the region suggest that U.S. plans to bring unity to Iraq before withdrawing American troops by training and equipping a national army aren't gaining traction. Instead, troops that are formally under U.S. and Iraqi national command are preparing to protect territory and ethnic and religious interests in the event of Iraq's fragmentation, which many of them think is inevitable. It doesn't matter if we have to fight the Arabs in our own battalion, said Gabriel Mohammed, a Kurdish soldier in the Iraqi army who was escorting a Knight Ridder reporter through Kirkuk. Kirkuk will be ours. Welcome to the screw-up of the century. 1,000 years from now, they will be talking about George Bush's screw-up in Iraq as a cautionary tale to anybody with a half a brain. It is going to fragment and explode and balkanize, and blood will run in the streets, and every last drop lands on George W. Bush. But you understand that. Thanks, everybody, for making this Thursday night a wonderful, wonderful, enjoyable event for me and my lovely wife, Agnes. Boy, that was some bad grammar. We do sincerely appreciate it. Hope you'll be around tomorrow night. Agnes produced tonight. Brian Reznor announced the program. And it was the whole setup was engineered by Randy Kerbway. Our good friend Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the stream and archives this and many other fine liberal programs. Can you imagine that? 5 million hours of liberal programming he has served with nary a bill sent. How about that? And if you'd like to help Ben, by the way, you can swing by cafepress.com/wiretap. There's a line of clothing there, big red W, I-R-E-T-A-P in white under after it, yeah, W for W, and One Nation Under Surveillance, T-shirts, mugs, bumper stickers. If you buy that, the person who designed it has agreed with me that she will send half the proceeds of all of that to Ben at WhiteRoseSociety.org, cafepress.com.